Good morning, and may I bid you a very warm welcome to our morning Zoom service from Newport on Tay Church of Scotland. It's good to see that so many have joined us, not only from our own congregation, but also neighbours from across the North Fife cluster. We welcome you into our virtual midst this morning and extend an invitation to join us in the breakout rooms after the service to continue in conversation over a cup of your own homemade tea or coffee. Two intimations this morning, or rather updates. The first is to state that I've had no update from Amos, so I'm running on the presumption that all is well. He has managed to visit his parents and will be returning on the 12th of February with an intention to take the service on the 14th. Should his travel plans fail, we do have a contingency plan, and Philip has kindly offered to be on standby for that particular service. The second item concerns Fife Presbytery. Yes, it exists. And yesterday, Elizabeth Thompson and myself attended one of the first business meetings. It was primarily to do with the decommissioning of the transition group. That is the group that saw the merging of the three presbyteries, St Andrews, Kirkcaldy and Dunfermline, into the single new Fife Presbytery, and also the assignment of individuals to particular posts. And I'm delighted to be able to inform you that our very own Philip Owen has been accepted to serve on the Board of Management. And so I'm sure you join me in congratulating him, and we'll hold him in our prayers for the substantial work that I'm sure lies ahead. With no singing allowed in church due to the COVID restrictions, we've all been encouraged during church-led services to reflect on the words contained within our hymns and praise songs, to focus solely on the lyrics, rather than the added complication, certainly for myself and the choir, of trying to fuse the words into the melody. This morning, I would like to focus not only on the lyrics, but also on the man behind one particular set of lyrics, to identify his background and the precise situation which led him to God, and to experience God's abundant grace in his life, and being so influential that it later moved him to pen what has become one of our all-time favourite hymns. But firstly, our call to worship from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 14, 16 to 17. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Let us now join together to sing our first hymn, which talks of God's boundless stores of grace. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you that you are our omnipotent God, creator of all and mighty in strength. Yet you humbly understand the frailties and fears that we face in our daily lives. We thank you for your abundant grace and never-failing strength, allowing us to face life's difficulties with assurance and confidence, knowing that your strength is made perfect in our weakness. Thank you for providing our daily needs and the necessities of life, and for the many blessings you shower over each one of us with such abundance. We thank you most of all for the gift of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who selflessly died on the cross to pay the price for our sins and rose again on the third day, breaking the power of sin and death in our lives. And how we praise and thank you for the indwelling Holy Spirit who leads, guides, and protects us day by day. Forgive us for the times when we have neglected to keep Jesus as the central person in our lives, and for the times when we have not shown his love to one another. Keep us mindful of the need to grow in grace and in a knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, and teach us all to walk in a godly way, to your praise and glory, as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his followers to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Whilst there is no children's address in the current circumstances, I am keen nonetheless to share with you a particular slide which develops a mnemonic for God's grace. God's reconciliation at Christ's expense. God's price to reconcile humankind with the actual sacrifice of his own Son. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. God's reconciliation at Christ's expense. It represents the ultimate price paid by God to redeem us, by forgiving our sins and blessing us with his divine assistance throughout our lives. And now let us join to sing that beautiful, joyous Isaac Watts hymn, remembering that Christ truly does rule the world with truth and grace.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. Heaven and nature sing, oh, heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. Joy to world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ. What fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. He rules the world. Of his love.
Our first reading is taken from Acts chapter 9, verses 1 to 19, Saul's conversion. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord, Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. And our second reading is from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 to 17. The Lord's grace to Paul. "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." May God add his blessings on these readings from his holy word. And now let us join together in singing our next hymn, "Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound."
That saves.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth, the thoughts of our minds, and the meditation of our hearts be worthy unto you, our Lord and our Redeemer. Amen. Amazing Grace is one of the most well-loved and frequently sung Christian hymns. It featured 8th in the BBC's top 10 hymns as voted by the Songs of Praise viewers in 2019. It was written by a man who ultimately understood the immensity of God's amazing grace within his own life. And I often wonder if we ourselves take time to fully comprehend the immensity of God's presence and grace within our own lives. Let us just take a moment to reflect on God's influence in our lives. The time when our Lord has walked alongside us, guiding us, protecting us. The times when His Spirit has carried or consoled us, celebrated along with us, a light in our darkest days, always present, always there. Amen. When John Newton was a little boy, his mother taught him Bible stories and prayed that he would grow up to become a minister. Sadly, in 1731, when he was only 6, his mother died of tuberculosis, and John endured 2 very lonely years at boarding school. His father, a ship's captain, could be absent for months or years at a time, and his new stepmother increasingly found John to be an encumbrance, and as a result, ignored his general welfare and spiritual education. John grew lonely and increasingly angry with the world. He started acting very badly. It looked like he had forgotten everything his mother had ever taught him. Then, at the age of 11, his father secured several posts for John at sea, but he was unable to settle easily into employment. One night, when he was ashore, he was press-ganged, dragged off down to the docks, and forced to work on a naval warship. That made him even angrier. Newton rebelled against this discipline and deserted. He was caught, however, put in irons, and flogged. His dreadful attitude and bad language grew worse, and John made fun of anyone who believed in Jesus Christ, God, and the Bible, a behaviour which earned him the nickname amongst his crew as the Great Blasphemer. He thought that life had treated him badly, and so John decided to treat others in a similar way. Despite his malevolent behaviour, however, John Newton worked his way through the ranks, eventually securing his own ship, and joined the then lucrative slave trade market. He transported kidnapped Africans, changed in his ship, to North America to be sold on as slaves. The bad boy had well and truly grown into a bad man. Then one day, a violent storm arose and began to rip his ship, the Greyhound, apart off the coast of Donegal. He was convinced it was about to sink. John felt helpless and afraid, particularly because he couldn't swim. Suddenly, he remembered the Bible verses his mother had taught him. John cried out to God, "Lord, have mercy on us." But then he thought, "What mercy can there be for a wretch like me?" In the midst of the ensuing turmoil, John knelt and prayed and told God he was sorry for turning away from him and for doing so much wrong. The storm ended, and John's life, along with his crew and cargo, were spared. he knew without doubt it was God's doing. So John began a disciplined schedule of Bible study and prayer, and correspondingly tried to set a good Christian example to the sailors under his command. He read how Jesus could forgive him for all the bad things he had done, and trusted in Jesus to absolve and reform him. Over time, he stopped using bad words and being angry all the time. And he even stopped being a slave trader. In fact, he joined others who fought for the abolition of the slave trade. William Wilberforce, a member of Parliament and a prime mover in the abolition of slavery, was strongly influenced by John Newton. Both his experiences in life and his powerful preaching on the subject. Later in life, just before he died in 1807, John Newton received the great news that it had been justifiably abolished. Now remember how his mother had prayed for him to become a minister? Well, God answered that prayer with a resounding yes. John became the pastor of several churches and travelled around England telling how God had saved a wretch like him. He also became a prolific hymn writer, with over 200 hymns accredited to him, including How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds, Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken, Behold the Throne of Grace, May the Grace of Christ our Saviour, and of course, Amazing Grace. He co-wrote the Olney hymns along with his friend, the poet William Cowper, a publication recognised as being a major evangelical resource of its time. The hymns were primarily written for use in Newton's rural parish church in Olney, Buckinghamshire, which were made up of relatively poor and uneducated followers. But soon this hymn book became a widely distributed resource with many national and international republications. During his 16 years at Olney, the church grew so crowded that it had to be extended, a situation we would undoubtedly be very happy to witness here in Newport. Today we are acknowledging John Newton's contribution by listening to and reflecting on the words of some of his hymns, or indeed the influential hymns of Isaac Watt, taught to him by his mother. In the Bible, grace is God giving favour to someone, not because they're good enough to deserve it, but because his love chooses to do so. It does not therefore depend on man's desire or effort, but on God's mercy, Romans chapter 9, verse 16. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Did John Newton deserve God's favour? No. He even called himself a wretch, a wicked, unhappy person, and thought of all the people he, like Saul, had persecuted. Yet when he began to trust Jesus, God's grace saved him from death, completely forgave him for all his sins, and gave him a new and purposeful life. God's reconciliation at Christ's expense. In our reading today from Eleanor, we heard about the conversion of Saul on the road to Damascus, and later in Timothy, from Saul, now Paul, himself. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Paul, the writer of the letter, was describing himself. But doesn't it also describe John Newton and what God did for him? No longer was John the wicked slave trader. Now he was John, the beloved child of God, the one who taught many people about Jesus and wrote songs to praise him. Songs like Amazing Grace. Little wonder that song became one of the favourite hymns of all time. It represents the redemption and transformation that had taken place in so many of us, having given our lives to Christ. When John Newton was writing the song, he remembered that terrible storm and how wonderful it was to be right with God at last. He praised God for his grace. And as we are aware, he wrote, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed." God's grace is his undeserved favour, abundantly poured out on those who desperately need him. As believers, his grace overflows to you and to me every single day. We are completely forgiven and covered in God's grace. And God gives his grace not because we're good enough to deserve it, but because his love chooses to do so. We all receive it when we trust and commit to follow Jesus. Isn't God's grace truly amazing? In one moment of fear, enlightenment, and regret on the road to Damascus, Saul understood that Jesus was the true Messiah and that he, Saul, had helped murder and imprison innocent people. Despite his previous beliefs as a Pharisee, he now knew the truth about God and was obligated to obey him. Paul's conversion proves that God can call and transform anyone he chooses, even the most hard-hearted. For you see, a person's past does not matter to Christ. He is more interested in a person's future. Even though Saul had been one of Jesus' cruelest enemies, he, as Paul, became one of his closest friends. So irrespective of our past failings and misdemeanors, by surrendering our lives to Jesus Christ, we are forgiven and we have an assured future. God's forgiveness is undoubtedly full and final, and his grace overflows. And even if you feel weak in stature, lacking in confidence, unsure of how you can utilize this gift of grace to the benefit of God and enhance his kingdom here on earth, then remember throughout history, God has chosen the most unlikely people to accomplish his will. Over and over in the Bible, God picked flawed men and women to help him carry out his plan of salvation. God chose Joseph to save God's people from famine, despite the fact that Joseph came from a dysfunctional family where his brother had sold him into slavery. God chose Gideon, a fear-driven weakling, to lead his army. God chose Ruth to be one of Jesus' ancestors, even though Ruth was childless, a widow, and a foreigner. God chose Rahab for a starring role in the Bible, yet she was a prostitute. God chose David, an adulterer, to be the leader of his people. And God chose Saul and John Newton And God has chosen you and me to receive his grace and accomplish his will in Newport, in the North Fife cluster, and even beyond. The lesson is clear, that the grace and the power comes from God. The person is only the conduit to fulfill God's will. Whenever God calls a person to a task, he fully equips that person for that task. So, are we ready to heed the call? Are we ready to accept or prepare to continue with our assigned task to find the lost sheep of this world and to lead them into the light and the glory of Christ Jesus so they too can experience the grace of God in their lives and in turn welcome others into the fold? One thing is certain. We should never be afraid of whatever God calls us to do. No fear should hold us back. We should willingly and boldly embrace God's gift of grace and assuredly step out in faith to witness for him. Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, he replied, "Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." Our faith can move mountains, but our doubts can also create them. We must remain resolute in our faith. Paul received the Holy Spirit along with the truth of the gospel, so he could share it with others. Paul could not have achieved this remarkable accomplishment in his own strength. He was empowered by the grace of God, God's reconciliation at Christ's expense. God's abundant grace, bequeathed to us all through the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, and brought to us through the power of the Holy Spirit, is all we truly need in life, even unto the end of life, and our rebirth in the heavenly kingdom. As John Newton aptly wrote, "The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. Yea, when this flesh and heart shall fail, and mortal life shall cease, I shall possess within the veil a life of joy and peace." God's reconciliation at Christ's expense. God's mercy and love bestowed on us. Let our lives never cease to reflect his amazing gift of grace. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, it is through your amazing grace and incredible love that we are who we are. Sinners saved by grace through our faith in your Son, Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Redeemer. Thank you that we have been set free from the law of sin and death by the Spirit of life, who dwells within our hearts and who teaches us your truth and compassion. For you are a faithful and gracious God who is rich in mercy and love. Thank you that once we were lost, but now are found, were blind, but now we see. Thank you that we have been redeemed by Christ and brought back into fellowship with you. Thank you that grace has brought us safe thus far, and grace will lead us home to your heavenly kingdom. Be with us this day, Lord, a light in the darkness, and remain with us throughout the coming days until we are reunited with you and all the saints in your heavenly kingdom. Amen. We continue our worship as we sing, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven.
Let us now dedicate our offering in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we ask you to accept our offerings, which are but a small token of our gratitude and love for you, Lord. Bless them and use them to further your work throughout the world. Through Jesus Christ, we offer you our prayer. Amen.
All our concerns are God's concerns. Let us share them with him now in our prayers of intercession. There is a response in this prayer. When you hear me say, God of grace and mercy, the response is, hear our prayer. God of grace and mercy,
hear our prayer.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for your church here on earth, for the Church of Scotland, the North Fife Cluster and our congregation in Newport-on-Tay. For all who gather in your name, in person or online, make us a listening and a responsive church, welcoming to the hesitant, encouraging to the young, sensitive to difference and attentive to the needs of all, seeking opportunities to share your love and to draw others closer to you. We pray for our minister Amos, for his insight and guidance in revealing your holy word, and for his safekeeping as he travels to and from the Cameroon to check up on the welfare of his parents. We give thanks for all who serve you in this place, giving of their time, resources, and their talents to further your kingdom in this community. God of grace and mercy, hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, make us a caring world, wise in government, honest in promise, far-sighted in the management of resources, and open-hearted in charitable giving. We thank you for all peace initiatives and every genuine attempt at negotiation towards conflict resolution. We pray for discernment and perseverance as our leaders work towards peace and reconciliation in line with your will. At a time when our laws and expectations will truly reflect your perfect justice and love, God of grace and mercy, hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, make us a responsible community, supporting our neighbours and our friends, sharing one another's sorrows and joys, and opening our homes to your indwelling. We pray for harmony and understanding in our family relationships, the willingness both to give and to receive, to forgive and be forgiven, for understanding and mutual respect. God of grace and mercy, hear our prayer.
Father, we are distressed by so many young lives, broken and deceived by abuse and neglect, the associated heartbreak of families split apart by emotional conflicts and financial worries. We pray for the marginalised, scorned and rejected, for those isolated through illness or imprisonment, for those who feel that no one listens or understands. Surround them all with such love that they know they are all precious to you. God of grace and mercy, hear our prayer.
Father, we pray that your healing touch, as the world continues to wrestle with the COVID-19 pandemic, that it may bring wholeness and peace to those who suffer and hope to those who are close to despair. We pray for our National Health Service, our medical centres and hospitals, and all who bring comfort and healing, diagnosis, surgery and relief. We acknowledge the research skill and competence of our scientists in developing a vaccine to combat the virus. And we pray for the planners and our military personnel who work to resolve the logistics of delivery to the remotest parts of our country and beyond, into the poorest and impoverished nations of our world. God of grace and mercy,
hear our prayer. Father, we pray for those approaching the end of their days, awaiting the call to enter into your eternal kingdom. We commend into your loving mercy the dying, and those who have already joined you in the beauty and joy of heaven above. We ask for your comfort and loving embrace to surround loved ones left behind. In their time of sorrow and grief, Lord, reassure them and console them. God of grace and mercy, hear our prayer.
We give you thanks, Lord, for calling us by name and keeping us safe through the storms and difficulties of life, for holding us close when doubts and fears challenge our faith through the power of your Holy Spirit and your gift of grace. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now we will sing our next hymn, Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken.
as we leave this gathered online community, we retain a spiritual connection one with another through our collaborative actions, our collective concerns, our shared faith, our willingness to serve each other and to witness for Christ in this corner of North Fife. Until we meet again, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore.